Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
A bad economic breakfast.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Sorry to start your day with a plate of gloom, but the numbers out this morning tell kind of a gloomy story. The government said consumer spending was only up 0.2% in December. December, the holiday season. It was the worst month since September of 2006. Plus, the Labor Department told us applications for unemployment skyrocketed last week, from 69,000 to 375,000. That's the worst week since right after Hurricane Katrina. Part of it was a technical adjustment, but analysts still say it paints an accurate picture of a weakening job market. And then we have this. The bond insurance company MBIA said it lost more than $2 billion in the fourth quarter. Now, before you decide this doesn't concern you, have a listen to our man in Washington, Steve Henn.
Bond insurers like MBIA basically are in the business of selling their good name. If a city wants to build a new library but can't get a AAA bond rating and the low interest rates that go with it, city managers will go to a bond insurer like MBIA and basically pay a fee to use the company's good credit rating. But in the last few years, these bond insurers got in the business of insuring big bundles of subprime mortgage loans. Now they've lost billions. And Ray Perryman at Perryman Economic Advisors said their good names have been soiled.
There's clearly an incremental drop in the perceived security of these bonds.
You may not own municipal bonds, but big banks and insurance companies do. $2.4 trillion worth. If MBIA loses its AAA bond rating, it would burn institutional investors and send another shockwave through the economy. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Wall Street is definitely concerned about the bond insurance business. Already, the Dow is down 131 points to 12,311. The NASDAQ has dropped 26. The S&P 500 is down 17. Mixed results in Asia today. European shares are down even more than Wall Street, 2% losses so far in Europe. There's a new survey out this morning on climate change. It's from George Mason University. About half of those polled say global warming is a serious problem. Democrats expressed more concern than Republicans. But there's talk, and then there's walk. Sarah Gardner reports from our sustainability desk.
The survey asked about 14 different behaviors, everything from recycling to driving a fuel-efficient car. Turns out Republicans and Democrats are about equal when it comes to really going green. George Mason's Ed Maybach says, yes, Democrats donate more to environmental causes and vote more for those kind of candidates.
But the actions that tended to be more market-based, like using less energy at home, buying energy-efficient appliances and insulation, there tended to be almost no difference whatsoever between Democrats and Republicans.
Maybach says consuming and flying less were among the least popular eco-behaviors.
So I think while we're talking a good green game, overall, we're not really getting there just yet.
Maybach says affordability may not be the problem. He found few differences in green behavior between wealthy and poorer households. So what is the problem? That, he says, is the subject of future research. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Thursday, January 31st on Marketplace.org. The Fed has now cut its interest rate 1.25% within about a week. That should get the economy's juices flowing. But will it help people on the verge of losing their homes? More now from Jeff Tyler.
Right now, around the country, more than 800,000 properties are in some stage of foreclosure. The Fed's move won't save them.
The rate cut will probably help market psychology more than it will help anything else. It will probably have a very marginal effect on real foreclosure activity.
That's Rick Sharga with Realty Track, which follows national foreclosure activity. 2007 set records, and Sharga expects that foreclosures will remain steady for the first part of this year.
We're probably going to be looking at between 500,000 and 3/4 million properties being repossessed by the banks over the course of 2008.
If you're in jeopardy of losing your home, reach out to your lender. Sharga says most banks don't want to take your property. They don't want to be in the real estate business. So they'll often negotiate a refinance package, figuring that less is better than none. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Five people sit on the Securities and Exchange Commission. Normally, it's two Democrats and three Republicans. One Democrat left the SEC last September. The other is leaving the agency today. Nancy Marshall Genzer looks at the effect of their departures.
Democrat Annette Nazareth is leaving the SEC at a critical time. The agency is juggling three dozen subprime investigations. Former SEC chief accountant Lynn Turner says with both Democrats gone, the agency has lost its toughest enforcers.
We probably have a kinder, gentler SEC rather than one that is really going to turn out to be a strong cop on the beat, a dog with more than just bark, if you will.
Ed Fleischman is a former SEC commissioner, now an attorney with Linklaters LLP. He says the SEC hasn't lost its bite.
The other 2,300 or 2,500 people in the agency go on working just the same, whether or not there's two commissioners, three, four, or five.
Turner says it was like that a decade ago, but he says since the current SEC chairman Christopher Cox came in, agency staffers have been on a much tighter leash. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
For years, Americans and Canadians could travel across the border without documentation. Just declare your nationality to the border agent. That changes today. A new rule requires U.S. and Canadian citizens to use a passport or a driver's license along with a birth certificate. There's a similar rule for Americans traveling to Mexico. So how will these changes impact the border economy? From our America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretz reports.
It can take hours to cross the southern border with Mexico, but the northern border was a different story. Customs agents took people's word for it. It took an average of 45 seconds to process a vehicle. Now anyone without the proper documents may be turned away.
The whole perception is the United States is not a welcoming country. The motto seems to be, if you come, fine, and if you don't, even better.
Angelo Amador is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He says the passport changes come at a time when the U.S. could use more Canadian tourists, not fewer.
A large sector of our economy depends on tourism, and I think it would be bad to continue damaging it.
To make things easier, starting tomorrow, Americans can apply for a wallet-sized passport card to travel to Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean. The cards will be ready by this spring. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
This week on the Marketplace programs, we're talking to economic advisors for the presidential candidates. This morning, it's Republican Mike Huckabee's turn. His advisor is French Hill. French, I know Governor Huckabee is generally supportive of the president's short-term stimulus plan, but what does he have in mind long-term?
Really, the best tax cuts or fiscal stimulus that one could design would be permanent, you know, and not temporary. And in that regard, the governor has called for the Bush tax cuts made permanent, which would reduce taxation on savings and investment and capital gains and would incent people to save, invest, and start new businesses. Other topics that Governor Huckabee would think would be important would be reducing regulatory burden on businesses and business formations.
What about the tax system itself? This fair tax proposal has obviously gotten a lot of attention. Can you distill for me what the primary advantage of the fair tax system versus the system we have now?
The fair tax system taxes consumption. So instead of taxing our incomes or our investment incomes or our capital gains from selling an investment, a farm or a business or a stock or a bond, it taxes our consumption. And therefore, there is no penalty on capital formation or savings and investment. That is a fundamental number one. Sure, there are many challenges to its enactment. And therefore, I think that's why the governor has said we ought to have a pathway to a fair tax, which would include making those Bush tax cuts permanent and lower the tax rates on corporations, which are among the highest in the world.
Has he had any experiences on the campaign trail that you know of that have perhaps changed his ideas on the economy at all?
One story comes to mind was a factory worker, I believe in Michigan, that had taken a second job to help put his daughter through graduate school. And he told the governor, he said, you know, when I got my paycheck from that second job, almost all that extra income I earned went to pay the extra tax that I had to pay because I was pushed up into a higher tax bracket. This is not what a tax system should do.
French Hill, he's a senior advisor for Mike Huckabee's campaign. Thanks for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Tomorrow we'll hear from the Mitt Romney campaign, and you can listen to all of our interviews with the major candidates' economic advisors on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.